This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous, so famous, Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford. We will try to keep things civil today. Let's start.
I'm going to be an antagonist.
We were civil. Our show was the most civilized.
That is true.
Like Walter Pennington. Sir Walter Pennington.
Who would have guessed? All right. So we're going to start with the next phase of NFL overreaction or reality. Are you guys ready?
Oh, man.
Say no. And then let's see that what is,
I'm not sure if I'm ready or not because... You know, it's been raining, and there's just lots of things going on.
We're not
on,
ready,
Kevin.
Go to break.
Yep.
Alec, I warned you this could happen yesterday. I am prepared. Are you ready for overreaction or reality?
Which side are you on?
You should pick the right side, Alec. There's a reason producers keep going away. You know what I'm saying?
Telling them who to vote for in November?
No. By the way. Never mind.
Yeah,
I won't
tell
him. He
did say the right, so that's interesting. Hold on. Well, I don't know. Let's ask the Twitch, man. The Twitch is always usually really responsive on this. Do they want us to be prepared? Do they want us to kind of do, I don't
hey,
know.
Twitch, I might need you to answer these questions, all right? Or the Fantex, Franklin Frankly, injury attorney, Fantex, 877-881-1053. All right, I'm going to give it a shot. I don't know if you guys are ready or not, but we're going to give it a shot. NFL overreaction or reality, the Packers will leapfrog the Lions in the NFC North.
I don't think that's reality.
Of course you don't.
Yeah, of course I don't, because I feel like the Detroit Lions are, they added to an already good team that made it to that championship last year. And I don't think that last year's, like that wasn't a fluke, like the Rangers World Series. That wasn't a fluke at all. They were a good offense. They knew their defense wasn't good most of the season. They had holes that were problems for them. And then they get to that point and that defense becomes that problem for them. So they go out this year and fix it. Now the Packers continue to grow the way that they are, but I just don't think they're quite there yet. So I think that the Lions still have that. By the way, somebody said, nah, it's raining. This is from Baseball Jesus. It's raining. Goof off, Mike and Corey. So there you go. That's a Twitch.
Another
Thanks,
person
Twitch.
Said they're going to Kenny and Quinlan's funeral, so we need to bring the heat.
Okay.
Out of respect for Kenny.
I'm going to ask questions back
on
this question.
Great.
Who has the better defense, Detroit or Green Bay?
Detroit.
All right, who has the better weapons for their quarterback, Detroit or Green Bay?
I would probably argue Detroit as well.
I'm with you on those. I don't think they're far off.
Who has the better quarterback?
I think Green Bay.
Okay, and that's why I was curious. But yeah. I'm inclined...
Do you love's better than Goff right now? Because I can see Love having a better career.
I would say I'm predicting that in 2024... Love to me showed a lot in the Dallas game, in the San Francisco playoff game, where I'm like, wow, he might end up being kind of in that top five quarterback. I don't think Jared Goff can ever get there. Yeah, okay. I think that Jared Goff is in, I hate saying this, sorry Cowboy fans, I think he's in the Dak Prescott category.
Yep.
Where you're like, once you start paying him a S ton of money, you're in big trouble because they're not good enough to carry a team. So I lean towards no, that Green Bay can't, because the defense is better for Detroit. The weapons are better for Detroit. And I don't think Jordan Love is ready to go into Patrick Mahomes status. I don't think he ever will, by the way. But so that's why I lean that way.
I'm inclined to agree with y'all. All right. NFL overreaction or reality? Maybe it'll be before the season. Maybe it won't. But at some point, the Cowboys will make Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback in the league?
My quick answer is yes. I don't, this is an easy decision for Jerry Jones. He does not make tough decisions. He makes tough decisions, but they're not football related.
Look, I listen to Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton. All right. I love
good
that show
today.
And Meat Church was on. And as Meat Church said, see you later. He said, the Dak Prescott contract is closer than it is far away. So I'm just going to go meet Church. He's at Dak's house all the time, cooking True. For him in the offensive line and Zeke. And so he's always doing stuff. So he's got to know something, right? He wouldn't just throw that out there for no reason. Or is it all hope from his heart? Is that all hope from his heart? I think that they will. And it's going to be a short-lived. It's going to be a short-lived highest paid quarterback in the NFL until the next one. And by the way, when I threw out the fluke thing about the Rangers, A, it was a joke, but at the same time.
Dude, what are you doing?
It's just a throwaway
just
joke.
Set it up.
For anybody that's texting and saying, hey, man, what are
They've
you doing?
They've had three comeback wins on this homestand, and you're going to so take much, a shot so at the good. Texas Rangers.
That was so much fun. We'll get to that later, but that was so
you know
much
what?
Fun
Because
last
you
night.
Said a throwaway joke, I got a throwaway overreaction to reality for you.
How dare you.
Spencer Rattler will eventually replace Derek Carr this season. Man, the disgusted look on my...
You don't like Spencer Rattler?
I think it's just because he's like, who the crap are we talking about?
Where's
that Garabito
face?
Or Chase Anderson? Like,
See that.
I don't care.
Wow. I think that's our first ever not yes or no overreaction or reality. I don't care.
At some point this season, you say?
Yes.
I'm curious on how long their head coach sticks around. Because if the Saints don't have a good season, and about halfway through, Dennis Allen's already in that area, right? He's already in that spot where they're like, man, we could get rid of this guy.
Sure.
And so if they're not having a good season and they cut bait with him, do they go to an interim head coach, or do they say, whoever this guy is going to be is going to be our next head coach too? And does he say, I'm connecting myself to that quarterback for the rest of my career here, or do I'm going with a younger player here and I can maybe get my own quarterback? So I think that's a very big possibility that it could happen. I'm also not a huge Carr fan anyway, so.
Now, Mike, I'm going to get you back on board with this next question, I hope. NFL overreaction or reality, Bijan Robinson will win Offensive Player of the Year. So check this out. Last year, he had more than 1,400 yards total offense, and that was with Desmond Ridder as his quarterback. And under
Three's company.
Yeah. John Ridder with a T. And Arthur Smith, who perpetually had stagnant offenses. This feels like I know the leading candidates, but this feels like a person who's ready to blow up.
Can I tell you, I'm shocked that he had that many yards. It felt like he was getting 10 carries a game.
So he had almost 500 yards receiving and then about 976 yards rushing. So total offense, he had more than 1,400 yards.
How many carries did he get per game?
Ooh, it was, the number was low, and people were complaining all season about how much they used him.
I think that he can be, I think he'll be in the top five in that category with the possibility of winning if they give him the ball about 20 carries a game.
12.6 carries per game.
You need to give him six to seven more carries a game, and he can do this.
And about four receptions per game.
Okay.
So, yeah, Kevin, there were times last year, the reason I drafted him so high in my fantasy draft last year, because I was like, Arthur Smith loves to run the ball.
Sure.
However, Arthur Smith was like, hey, this Algier kid, I really like him around the goal line. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There were times when Bijan made defensive players look foolish. There were also times where Arthur Smith said, I'm not running you one time today. You're not even getting on the field today. You're not getting any touches. I didn't understand exactly what that was. Like, what's the purpose of keeping your best player from touching the football? So I think
I'm with you.
I'm absolutely on
the...
You
only got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did end up getting fired. So
I mean, look, he had to kind of...
It was on its way. But yeah, I feel like he has the talent to be that. He's in a backfield with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins doesn't love being the center of attention, so he'd be happy to turn around and throw it to Bijan Robinson.
A significant upgrade over Ridder.
I'm asking you, Kevin, if they're both healthy, who's going to have a better year, Bijan Robinson or Saquon Barkley?
I think Bijan Robinson.
By a lot?
No, just because I do think fully healthy Saquon has a high ceiling. But at this point, man, I love Bijan Robinson. I know he's a Texas kid, but he's awesome.
Do you think Bijan is going to have a better year than Christian McCaffrey?
Whew, that is tough.
No, Just because.
Like, those are the three running backs that can win offensive.
You're like, hey, a quarterback is going to have the MVP, and McCaffrey has a better season. Doesn't he deserve offensive player of the year?
Yeah. I would put Bijan right behind
Christian McCaffrey. So McCaffrey, Bijan, Barkley is the way you'd rank him?
I could see that. Because
you believe that McCaffrey will play 17 games.
Or at least 15. Let's go with that. Because you got to get at least 14 or 15 in there.
Okay.
All 17? Whoa, I don't know about all that.
Why, Kevin?
Just because don't he already has a calf injury.
Don't do it. You know better.
In the preseason.
You know that family. They'll come after us.
Oh, no. I didn't say anything about. I don't want him to get hurt.
He's just trying.
I'm just concerned.
He's battling through that injury, like you said.
NFL overreaction or reality. Kalen Carson or Jordan Lewis will make an early season impact for the Cowboys. Now, I asked you yesterday about Marshawn.
Because I know Cheryl Swoops would say definitely no to anybody who's close to
that. Is Caitlin Clark, not Kalen Carson. We will get back around to Caitlin Clark in a little bit. But Kalen Carson and or Jordan Lewis will make an early season impact for the Cowboys.
I think Kalen Carson. I'm kind of curious. I haven't seen how they're playing that. Is Carson on the outside?
Yep, I believe that is correct.
I think that he will. I think he'll make an impact pretty quickly. And what's interesting, too, is there was a fan that kept texting us and saying, why do y'all keep talking about Kalen Carson? He's going to sit the bench the entire season.
Whoops.
And look, you can change that just a little bit. And it's, we kind of did say at some point injuries happen. It does.
And by the way, even if Deron Bland didn't get hurt, he was not going to sit the bench.
Yeah, he was going to have opportunities. There are going to be plenty of opportunities for him. I think he stands a better chance to make an immediate impact, positively and negatively. Because he is a rookie, a negative impact can come from it.
I think he's going to get picked on.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get better as the year progresses. But I think, the Cleveland Browns, when they are putting together their game plan, which probably they already have, it's Wednesday.
I would think so.
That they are going to target him. So I will say that for Jordan Lewis, in a weird way, I think he's a solid player. I just think that the Browns, they're not going to pass the ball a ton. They're going to try to first see if they can establish tempo flow through the run game and see if the Cowboys actually are better at it. But then when they pass, I think they're going to try to pick on.
Do you remember when we had Amari Cooper lined up across from James Bradbury? When James Bradbury's rookie season, and nothing had even happened, and James Bradbury fell down before the snap, and Amari goes, "Are you okay?"
That's intimidation.
That's going
right
to happen
there.
At some point. Kalen Carson's going to be lined up across from Amari Cooper and be like, "Crap, I got to deal with this guy today. This isn't going to be fun." So get prepared for that one.
I also wonder, like, I definitely hear what y'all are saying, and Mike, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But that also theoretically gives Carson more of an opportunity to make a positive impact. I realize how it could
go bad. I don't think he's going to have no impact. It's either going to be positive or negative to start the year where we're like, oh, crap.
And it could be both.
Picking on him.
It could be both.
Holy cow, I can't believe that, you get to week three and they're still trying to pick on this kid because he's really doing a great job.
And a couple of things. I know people are bringing up Breece Hall as running back number three. I understand that. I know in fantasy drafts, because of what he can do, both rushing and receiving, that is a promising pick. And then somebody asked this. I didn't mean this to be a shot at Texas.
It sounded like one.
When I said I know Bijan is a Texas kid, I was throwing that out there because people think I'm biased against the University of Texas. So I'm saying that kid is flat out awesome. That man is flat out awesome.
I do want to point out I didn't take part in the fantasy draft this year.
Why not?
I had my hands full with some kids. I woke up the next morning though and I saw that I had Breece Hall, and then I also saw that I had B. Robinson, and I was like, holy crap, how did I get both Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson? It was Brian Robinson for sure.
Fair.
For a moment, I was like, I won this league, y'all, already.
Well, speaking of that, what a great transition. You're a broadcasting expert.
Damn right.
Sometimes the way you phrase sentences about children makes me nervous. That was a damn fine transition right there. Coming up next, what's the worst fantasy football punishment you've ever had to do? And have you ever kicked a friend out of your league? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
McCaffrey up the middle, inside the 10, a stiff arm at the 5, and in for the touchdown! Christian McCaffrey barreling in for 6, and San Francisco has the early lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you have fantasy football questions, maybe we'll try to answer those as well. But this is based on a specific bet payoff and then something my older son said that really fascinated me. So the questions are twofold right here. What's the worst fantasy football punishment you've ever had to do? And have you ever kicked a friend out of a league? Now, I don't know how this punishment would compare, but what do you think about this? A fantasy football player had to go out on the street. Now, he was able to wear underwear underneath in a diaper and held a sign up that said, I S the bed in fantasy football.
Oh.
Like at a street corner. Like this was a traffic light. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed pretty busy. And so that felt like a pretty brutal payoff.
I think you can have some fun with that, though.
For sure.
Look, people are honking at you. Nobody's taking it seriously. They're seeing that sign. They're like, okay, at least it's not a political sign. You know,
fair.
But you send somebody like that into the office, and they got to go into their work like that. Now, that could scar them for life. That could be,
because
then it's going to be, you know, that's going to be tough to deal with.
Well, and to go along with that, then I was talking to Brandon about this year's fantasy football, and he said he kicked one of his best friends out. They kicked him out of the league because he just flat out didn't do his punishment. And they're like, dude, you have until the season starts. And he just wouldn't do it. So they booted him out. Maybe it's for that reason. Maybe it's for a totally different reason. Have you ever booted someone out of your fantasy football league?
No. We've kicked some people out of our league for just sucking, like not being good parts of the group, you know. Like,
does that mean they don't chat or they're not good or?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're not part of it at all. They weren't even.
Is it like people, like a wide receiver's out for the year and he's still starting them for three straight weeks?
Yes, like, you're not stuff even like trying. That, too.
Okay, I gotcha.
That being said, all the guys that are currently in this one fantasy group that I've been with for almost 18 years now, like all the guys that have been in that, I guess 16 years, we've known each other since like middle school.
Sure.
So since we were at Gaston Warriors. We've known each other that long, so we're all pretty tight now. Like, we used to get some random people would join, and we were like, I don't know, man. I don't even know if I like that guy or not, but I'll take his money. So that's the way to it. But here's...
Man, how poker-esque of you.
Kevin, I do have a list from one of the guys in our leagues in his work league. Here are the three options for the loser.
Ooh.
Marvel or Looney Tunes tattoo. Number two, both nipples pierced for 2 weeks.
Like you're doing physical
harm.
Shout
out to Alec.
For 2 weeks. Yeah, shout out to Alec.
I saw him at the pool party. He did not either A, have his nipples pierced, or B, have any appearance that he had his nipples pierced. Yeah,
he didn't want to show them off that day. And you have to have it for 2 weeks. And you'll have random checks, unannounced checks to make sure they're still pierced. But, I mean, if you're getting them pierced, you're leaving them, right? You're not going to be like, oh, they're pierced. Now I'm have these holes in my nipples. And then the third one is you can buy out for $3,000 that's going to be split amongst the group. So you don't have to do that.
Here's what I've learned that, and this is an important lesson, that fantasy football league is too high stakes for me because I don't want to get a tattoo. Sure. I don't want to get my nipples pierced and I don't want to have to give anybody $3,000. So that's what I learned in that moment. That is too high stakes for me from the 817. I kicked my brother-in-law out of our league because him and someone else didn't participate in the group chat. In fact, he left the chat. And so they're talking and he's like, you know what? The hell is this? I'm not even participating. From the 972, I had to kick a friend out of the league because he kept sliding into the DMs of all the women in our league and then said uncomfortable, creepy things.
Yes, you absolutely have to kick that guy out.
I did not realize that was an issue. I'm not saying that's, I get it. Don't do that.
Especially if you had a talk with him already. You chatted with him and you're like, hey man, stop this. Like, you got to stop this, man.
Oh my gosh. From the 817, this will be heavily censored. Not censored. Worst punishment. I had to wear a football helmet with 6 Ditos attached and a shoulder pad with some B plugs and march through the front door of a bar and stay out there for 1 solid minute. That sounds awful.
Have you ever heard John Hamm's story about his fantasy league? Yes, he was in Mad Men.
Found a couple of Pittsburgh Pirates pitchers overseas.
That was a movie. I don't think he's actually the one who found
Darwin Ham or Darvin Ham is what you're.
John Hamm.
Oh, no, he broke the backboard against North Carolina.
There you go. John Hamm was in a fantasy league, and the winner gets to pick every year. The winner gets to pick one person to kick out of the league.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he shows up to his fantasy draft, and whoever had won the previous year kicks him out. Just, sorry, buddy, you're out of here, and just kicked him out. Or he kicked somebody out. The day of the draft, they get all their stuff set out, lay it all out. They're getting ready to do the draft, and they're like, see you later, man, you're out of here. That one, that's kind of tough because you've spent a whole, like, all this time researching and doing all this stuff, and then you're gone, man.
Does this happen as well then? From the 682, had to kick a guy out a few seasons ago after he traded me Jefferson for Chase, give or take. And then Chase immediately got hurt and he just kept whining and begging for the trade to be undone.
Yeah, I mean, once it's domino laid, domino played, right? Once the trade is done, like, you can try to convince him to trade it back to you, but that's done. That's already taken care of.
From the 806, 2 years ago, I had to become an Uber driver until I made $500. Then that money was used to cover the league's bar tab at the next draft. See, I think I'm more okay with that than some of these other things. I would rather like put in the time and the work to do something than to be straight up like embarrassed. I really think I would. Alec, I'm going to ask you about this in just 1 second. For the 945, I love my league. I lost my league last year. And I still have to get an old school Cowboys logo. And that person said they're an Eagles fan.
Okay, well.
Dang, I don't want to be in a tattoo league. But that's also because I don't have any tattoos.
You also don't want to be an Eagles fan. And so that's already tough on that person.
Well, you rooted for him in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that happened.
That is true. F Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? That's from the 803, punishment. Stand up on amateur night at a comedy club. I will tell you this.
I want to see Mike do that.
I'd kill it.
I believe it, Mike. I believe you would just walk up there and you'd be like, I got this. I tried it once very early on, and I got up there, and Adrian and I were dating at the time.
Okay.
And she brought a girl from our high school that I could never get to laugh. I could never even get this girl to smile. And after the first joke, I looked over and saw her, and she just was not laughing. And I went, and I froze, and I was that's it.
Did you prepare?
What's that?
What did you
say? Yeah, what happened at the end of that
I didn't hear what you said, Mike. I'm done with my question.
Yeah. I don't want to.
See, okay, Mike, this is how I envision your stand-up going. Tell me if you think this is accurate at all.
I haven't prepared yet.
Okay, but I think you're going to like this.
Okay.
See, I just think it depends on the audience. Because if you just get a bunch of rando people who, like, maybe don't know the show or they're not baseball fans, I could just see you starting with, like, a Todd Van Poppel. You know what I'm saying? And then just everyone looks at him. He's like, he should have got more Todd Van pop-ups when he's pitching, you know? Like, that's how I envision.
That's not going to fly.
Not in his act.
That's how I envision part of your stand-up.
Hey, Mike, is your act R-rated or is it going to be pretty clean?
I'm going to try to make it clean.
Like a Nate Bargatze kind of guy?
Yes. All right. I'll work on it.
Gotcha. Okay. Zach Wolchuk texted us, Kevin.
I would like to hear any of these jokes at literally any time.
I'm letting him work on it right now. Zach Texan said his best friend has gotten last place both years in their league. He did the NFL draft combine the night before their draft as his punishment. This year, the league voted, and his punishment was 5 minutes of stand-up comedy. He did not do it and wouldn't do it. Should they have banned him?
Yes. You got to kick that person out of the league, it sounds like.
They're not going to do the payoff. You got to do it.
I will give credit. What's the point? I'm pretty sure in the old fan league, I think it was KT, who had the pitch for, we said his name. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
KT Turner, or Kevin Turner, not KT Turner. That's silly.
That's redundant. Right.
So KT, I think it was him who wanted not a punishment for the loser, but a reward for the winner where we all had to go to the showroom and listen to an hour-long presentation about whatever the winner wanted, and you couldn't leave, and...
You had to listen to whatever it was.
I just think it would have been amazing.
Whale. Here's why I love the blue whale.
Yeah, like, or mine would have been about wrestling. KT would have taken a deep dive on some music stuff. Like, it would have been... awesome, but we could not get everybody to agree on that. All right, Alec, quick question. Since you do have tattoos, do you think that would make you any more likely to accept a tattoo fantasy league payoff, or would it perhaps even make you less likely because you're like, these tattoos all mean something to me?
I mean, I do have a Star Wars tattoo, so I think that's kind of out the window. It would really depend on the circumstances because, one, I'm kind of running out of room on the arm. So, like, the location matters, the design matters. Am I paying for it? Are you sending me to some place that was on Ink Master and they charge $800 for an hour session? You know, that's happened to me. So, yeah.
I can tell by the way you said that.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't fun.
Get a tattoo removed.
I heard that is very...
That's not fun.
Your favorite tattoo. They get to pick your favorite tattoo.
Oh, man. I think that's a better payoff than you have to get this other tattoo.
That's like, unconstitutional. That's cruel and unusual. This tattoo.
It's going to be painful. No. And then if you want it back, you got to redo it again and pay for it.
In the same area. Oh, man. Is that allowed?
All right, Mike, you have about 1 minute. Do you have a joke prepared for us now?
Not at all.
All right, Kevin, back to you.
I don't know why you said something about you didn't do well at the comedy club, so the butt thing was over.
Oh, we're done with that again. Back to you, Kevin.
But you didn't say that, right?
What?
Yeah,
I have no clue what you're saying.
Well, you said it on the air and then just dropped it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on... Well, man, okay. Some of these are really, really tough. I misread one of these at first, and I thought it said, my wife became my ex-wife because of a fantasy payoff, but that was actually a shout-out to your middle school.
512,
so I got really nervous.
Loser in my league has to hand wash and vacuum the top three finishers' cars.
I like that.
In a thong bikini in the driveway. Of course you would like that, Kevin.
Oh, man. Hey, Mike.
What's coming up?
Did I ever tell you that one time I spilled spot remover on my dog, and now he's gone?
His name was Spot.
Oh, wow. Did you shoot him? Or, like, how did you kill the dog?
Spot remover.
Oh, I thought that's what you tell your kids.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
We had to kill one of our dogs.
Oh my God. What the hell? How is that the tease going into Baseball Nuggets?
I thought we were talking about, have you ever killed a dog? I thought that's what we were doing.
I saw a dog get hit by a car once.
Oh, my dear God. Coming up next, hopefully just Baseball Nuggets.
Oh, my dear dog? Hey, Wyatt Langford, Grand Slam. We'll talk about it next.
Langford stays right in the box, waiting at 3-2. The set by Holmes, and the payoff pitch swung on, and a deep drive to left. That ball is way, way back. That ball is history. A walk-off slam for Wyatt Langford.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Amazing moment last night right here in your home of the Texas Rangers. And now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
That was an awesome moment. I'm not even sure if 50% of the fans there were still Ranger fans because the Rangers were losing most of the game. They had one hit through six innings, which was a solo home run by Josh Jung, and then they got a single by Ezekiel Duran in the seventh. So going into the eighth inning, you had one run on two hits.
Yeah.
And at that point, I would say 20% of the Ranger fan base had left, where most of the Yankee fan base was still there because it was going to be probably another Yankees win.
Yeah, a lot of pinstripes there.
And so it was an exciting moment. I have this question about Wyatt Langford and the Grand Slam, and I believe that's his third walk. Well, it might be second walk-off.
I think it is his third walk-off.
But I kind of, that Boston Red Sox at Fenway home run was huge. Obviously, you can't walk it off on the road. You can only take the lead for your team in a big situation. All right. I want you guys to rank right now who you want up to bat with the game on the line for the Texas Rangers. You know, just top three. Don't go through 14 guys, please.
Seager.
All right. I agree. Seager's my number one still.
And right now, Young and Wyatt Langford. It was Adolis last year. Like, any time I would want Adolis up. Even if he's struck out four straight times, I'm like, all right, throw that dude up there in a big moment. He's going to deliver. I just don't trust him right now. But those are my three.
I mean, I'm going to put Wyatt Langford second just because the last 3 days he's been going crazy. So,
all right,
I would put him second. And do you think I'm a chump if I still kind of wonder about Semien? I know he's had a tough year.
I mean, at this point, I wouldn't put him third. I would put, and it's not, I mean, Josh Young's barely played this year, but I think the choice would be your third guy. I agree with you both that I want Wyatt Langford. It's weird. Yeah. Wyatt Langford's not even having a great year, but I would have him, and the Rangers are having a really bad offensive year, but I would put him second behind Seager. I think your choice is between Josh Young, who's barely played, and Josh Smith.
Yeah. Which, like, is not a good reflection on the offense.
Yeah, I think
Josh Smith was very patient last night, too, in his approach. And then
got on base, right?
The hurdle walk was great. Yeah, but drawing the walk. But that's one of the reasons I want Langford up, is because he's a patient hitter.
Yeah.
He waited through crappy strike calls and got the pitch he wanted.
That would have been the story last night. Now, look, it would have been the Yankees win nationally, but what the crap, man? Like, those balls weren't even close to Langford to put him into a two-strike situation.
Feels like the story of his year, too.
They weren't close. Like, that was 4 inches above the zone and then 4 inches wide of the zone on the two strike calls against him. And I'm just like, I don't get it. He's not showing up the umpire as far as we can tell. Like, and he doesn't turn back to the umpire and say anything derogatory. I don't know. It's weird. You brought up, as we were talking about this off the air, like, you could see that possibly happen to Evan Carter.
Absolutely, I could. And I think Evan Carter is a lovely human, but he will definitely look back at the ump and be like, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Or what did you
see there? Disdain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is good news on Wyatt Langford, is that we feel like he can handle the big moment and come through sometimes in it. I know Ellis Valentine texted me this morning, and he really, if you don't know who Ellis Valentine is, he's a former All-Star. I think he was with the Expos. He made the All-Star team. He played for the Rangers for a second, lives in town. A lot of former players live in town, but it's great when I get to hear from those guys because I love their opinions. And I want to see Wyatt Langford turn it loose like that a little bit more. It feels like to me he's tried to push the ball the opposite field, and I know he's working on his game. He's right out of college still, pretty much, and he's got to play pretty much the whole season. He went on the injured list a little bit, but he's got a lot of at-bats this year at the major leagues, and I'm hoping, like I said yesterday, I want to see in the month of September 5 home runs and 5 other extra base hits. And so, great news, he hit a grand slam last night. And so you're looking for those extra base hits the night before. He had a homer and a double. Because I need the Rangers, even going into the playoffs last year, didn't feel like they had a 3 and 4 hole hitter.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, they felt like, hey, we really like Semien at one, and now we questioned that yesterday going into the future. Seager's locked in at number two. We know when he's healthy, he's locked in. And from what rumors is yesterday wasn't just a day off, is that he might be, I have no clue what's bugging him, but there might be something injury-wise bugging him. I guess we'll find out more, like, tonight, as long as he's in the lineup against Stroman.
Can I ask Bochy today?
We can ask Bochy today at 12:20. Hey, Corey Seager, do you think he can finish off the season on your active roster? Or are there concerns that you're just going to have to, at the last week of the season's on the road, are you just like, shut him down? Let's make sure, you know, we don't hurt him any more than what he is, type of a deal. But we got Boch at 12:20. Now, I thought this was interesting, Corey. I guess I said, I don't know if I want to talk about this on the air, but we can. yesterday it was interesting. Andrew Heaney was great. Again.
He was.
And once again, he doesn't get a win.
He was painting corners, too.
He's going to have like an ERA possibly at 3.5. That might be tough to get to at this point, but his ERA
is
like...
a terrible record. Yeah.
And just have a horrible record. He's going to get paid. I'm going to tell you something. He ain't going to be a Ranger next year. Because I just think there's going to be too many teams that want him in the offseason. I'm not saying the Rangers won't want him in the offseason, but... what he's done, I think a lot of teams are going to look at it and go, dude, how many different ways can we use Andrew Heaney? And I think he has a lot left in the tank. But you do know that he's kind of a five-inning starter because he does not do well a third time through the lineup. So yesterday in a 1-0 game, and I do think you have to give Chase Anderson credit in this. This is where nobody gets any credit. I'd like giving it to guys because I was Chase Anderson-like guy where you're just like, eat up the innings, we're losing. He pitched four innings and threw 82 pitches the other day after Jack Leiter was taken out of the game. Yeah. So your bullpen didn't have to be used after Jack Leiter came out of the game after pitching five plus innings and giving up three runs, second and third, nobody out. Chase Anderson came in. He gave it up. He lost the game in that inning, but he ended up pitching the rest of the game. So then Andrew Heaney, sixth inning, which is, I think he intentionally hit Juan Soto, by the way.
Oh.
Juan Soto on 1-0.
For what reason?
Well, on 1-0, it's the sixth inning, and Jose Leclerc is ready to probably face Aaron Judge no matter what. But he wants him to face Soto. Soto kind of steps out of the box or looks back to the umpire, and then Heaney steps off the rubber with about 3 seconds left on the clock, and the umpire gave him... a pitch delay, free ball for Juan Soto. Andrew Heaney argues from the mound for a second. He's like, why do I get the, why am I penalized? He looked back at you and kind of stepped out of the box. Why isn't he penalized? And the umpire's like, you're penalized too. And no, he's like, fine. Bam. You're on base. You know, like, so, I'm done.
You got to oddly respect it, right?
Yeah. He's like, all right. Well, if you're going to penalize me and now I'm 2-0 on Juan Soto, one of the best hitters in the game, he can go to first base. How about that, umpire? And so they take Andrew Heaney out of the game, bring in Jose Leclerc, and he gets out of the situation. The situation is nobody out, runner on first base. And Jose Leclerc comes in the game. I just thought it was interesting that you have a similar situation. Jack Leiter, who just has struggled at the major league level for all of his starts. He's not struggling against the Yankees, actually pitching pretty well up to that point. If you go just to his box score through five innings, it is 4 hits, 2 runs.
Yeah. Okay.
Through five. And he's like, hey, let's have him face Soto and Judge. And it, Gleyber Torres, you get unlucky, right? Gleyber Torres hits a ground ball. It ends up being a hit, but he took Heaney out. And it was, I think Bruce Bochy saw how it played out the day before and was prepared this time. But I guess he's more prepared for Heaney because he knows what Heaney can and can't do. And he believes that Heaney cannot go through a lineup the third time because he was pitching great the other day against the White Sox, Andrew Heaney. And he's like, I'm not the White Sox. And he's like, He ain't facing the White Sox a third time.
Yeah, and I know he desperately wants to get Heaney a win, and that's something that's like, like, we just can't do it for him for whatever reason. Like, that's part of it, too. But, you know, and maybe it is just because Heaney is what Heaney is. They're like, we're just, his cutoff is his cutoff.
Yeah, and I love Andrew Heaney. I hope he is a Ranger next year. It's hard for me to see him being a Ranger next year with the competition.
And because of monetary issues, we feel like.
Monetary. Oh, yes, money. Monetary. Money issues.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah.
You're welcome.
My bad.
Yeah, I don't want to use that in my stand-up. People are like, I don't know what this monetary thing is he's talking about. the other news is Tyler Mahle, 99% done for the year, which isn't good news for his shoulder. And then John Gray, 100% done for the year. And this does mean for Jack Leiter, he's going to be
safe. You're going
to
go.
Yeah, he is going to be pitching every fifth day. And I think this is key for him next year. He's never pitched every fifth day in his life. So he pitched on a fifth day against the New York Yankees. Now he's going to pitch. You could have an off day in there. Don't get me wrong where you pitch on a sixth day, but he's going to be part of the 5-man rotation the rest of the way. So that will be good for his development. And my last thing, Aaron Judge stinks in center field. He is the best hitter in the game right now. Watching him play center field, that's a major mistake, and you just watch this. The ball finds you when you're in a position you shouldn't be at.
Yeah.
And I hate bringing this up because I love him. The ball found Michael Young in Game 6 of the World Series at first base.
And third base in against the Giants a couple different times.
And so Aaron Judge in center field, I understand why they do it for their offensive purposes, to have their best offensive lineup in. He's not a center fielder, and I will say this. It will be – they got to do something in the offseason, whether it's move Juan Soto to first base or – I don't know what it is. But they can't play Aaron Judge in center field. He's a good right fielder. He's a very good defensive right fielder. I'm not saying he's not a good defensive outfielder. He's just not a good defensive center fielder.
With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.